a friend of mine, and we had scheduled for him to minister to us about a week ago. Was it last week? Yeah, last week. And then we had a, I think, well, no, last week but one, and that's the time when we had Mrs. Twimi Singh, and I'm sure you are blessed. Amen. So I asked him that he was going to minister to us today, and he has been with us. He's actually our music director in the men's ensemble. He has blessed us, and I'm sure you've enjoyed his ministry. Amen. And so I'm going to welcome him to the microphone. He is a preacher in his own right. He led a big ministry, radio ministry, for TV ministry for the youths in Kenya. And lo and behold, he's here with us. It's such an honor to have Pastor Ndumi and his wife, you know, coming to church with us. And it's a blessing. It's just been a joy, you know, even being part of the men's ensemble. And so welcome him with a hand as he comes to minister the word of the Lord to us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Buonasera. Amen. I must say that extremely, extremely blessed this morning. I don't know how you felt during the worship, praise and worship time. It was, we could feel the presence of the Lord in this place. It was just a wonderful place to be in. I was just thinking like we could just continue for another 30 minutes. That was really, really powerful. And we thank God for the worship team here led by even pastor. You know, this is very unique that the pastors of this church are worshippers. It doesn't always happen that way. And we want to thank God for them, and we want to pray that God will continue to strengthen them. I remember when we were, you know, just there with my wife, I was remembering that we saw this couple lead praise and worship in a church called Nakuru Happy Church many years ago. And it's like the fire is still burning. That is so powerful. Let's give a mighty clap to the Lord for them. And we thank God for that. And so, I'm accompanied with my wife. By my wife, maybe you can stand up and just say hi. Okay, thank you. I think there was a tremendous uplifting of the Lord this morning. As we worshiped God this morning and looking at how great he is and how mighty he is, but also seeing him come down and even help us defeat our enemy, put our enemy on the ground. So he's not only God Almighty in heaven, but he's also God with us. He also comes down and involves himself with our day-to-day life. He is mighty. He is great, but he is also concerned about us. And this is in line with what our pastor brought out this theme concerning servanthood. And I think the last time we had Purity, who really made a great exposition on this subject of servanthood. And even as we were worshiping this morning, I was just looking at, look at this mighty, mighty God, awesome, and wonderful, and exalted, and omnipresent. He's God of all. He's all powerful God. That all powerful God is the one that also calls us to be His servants. In fact, I discovered in the Bible that it is not even the question of us, going to him to be servants, but he has already declared us servants of God. If you look at Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, if you can go there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. He's speaking to the children of Israel, who are his chosen people, and he says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Now, when I looked at that, I saw God chose the children of Israel, and we are also the children, chosen children of God. He says we are the chosen generation. He has called us, he has chosen us to be his children. But look at the fivefold components of his calling. He says, this is what God desires of us after choosing us. He says that we may fear the Lord, number one. Number two, that we may walk in all his ways. Number three, that we may love him. And number four, that we may serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And number five, that we may keep his commandments. Look at that part of service. It is emphasized. It says, and that you may serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. There is emphasis on serving. And so, when I looked at this, I said, oh, our calling is not only being born again and saved and come into the kingdom, but also to serve God. So, service to God is a calling, and it is also one of those virtues that God expects us to have. And so, I looked at that and I said, even as we're worshiping this morning, this same God who is awesome and great is calling us to serve him. And not only to serve him, but to serve him with our whole heart and with our whole soul. And how great is it that we can be called of God to serve him? In the book of Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. In the New King James Version, I'm going to read New King James Version. That is Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. It's already up there. The Bible says, but you, Israel. Israel is children's chosen people. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend. And then it says, I brought you from the ends of the earth and called you from its farthest corners. I said to you, you are my servants. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. And verse 11, be sure that all you who are enraged against you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who contend with you will become as nothing and will perish. That means when God calls us as his servants, he also accompanies us into the service. And that's the greatest part of it. Now, if you look at, again, just go ahead there in Isaiah 49 and verse 3, the same book, Isaiah 49 and verse 3, NIV. If you can give me NIV, please, if you have it. Isaiah 49 and verse 3. Isaiah 49 and verse 3, NIV version. You don't have it? Okay. We can still read it in New King James. In verse 3, it says, and he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing. And in vain, yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. Verse 5, and now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Hallelujah. He says, Isaiah says that God calls him, and he does not only call him, but he empowers him to be his servant for his glory.
That means when God calls us to be servants, he wants us to glorify him, to display his power wherever we are. And what a great honor that God can call us to be his servants, to glorify him and to display his splendor. And so he tells him, fear not, do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with the righteous hand. And I think, brethren, this morning, what we need is that to know that whenever God has chosen us to be servants, we can step out and start to stand for him. Hallelujah. Now, as much as he has called us servants, but he's waiting for us to take a step of faith and stand and step out and show up. Hallelujah. There is a commercial. There's a commercial which was in Kenya those years back, long time ago. It was a commercial on shoe polish. It's called Kiwi. And so they say, they were saying like this. Hebu jitokeze. Jionyeshe. Simama mbele ya watu. Hallelujah. You see, it was talking about step out, show yourself, and stand. Why? Because the shoe, if you have polished it, you cannot just hide it, isn't it? You've got to step out. That's people see the shoe. Show it up. And stand. I'm relating that one to this message today, and I'm saying this. Do you know what? God calls each one of us his servants. Regardless of who you are, regardless of your background, regardless of where you come from or your status in life, you are a servant. All of us are servants of the Lord. Come on, come ye all the servants of the Lord. But now, he's asking you to do something because he's going to back you up. There is nothing as encouraging as getting into a new arena, but there is somebody holding your hand and telling you, don't worry, don't fear, don't be dismayed. I'm with you. I'll be with you. I'll empower you. I'll give you strength. God is saying, you are my servant. I want you to do something. I want you to stand up. I want you to step out. I want you to show up. Brethren, let me tell you something. The moment you step out as a servant of God, the moment you show up, it does not matter where, the moment you shall stand and be identified as a servant, wherever you are, whether it is in this church, whether it is in the community where you live, whether it is in your family, the moment you will arise and stand up, the moment you will show up, the moment you will be around and say, I am here as your servant, that is the time God will come down. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. So let me tell you something. People sometimes think that serving is a question of like being a very special person. Like being, you know, you must have gone through a particular system. You must have been taught. You must have been the moment God has called you, all he wants you to do is Hebu jitokeze. That's all God is willing. Come on, come on. And the moment you come out, God comes to back you up. And you'll just wonder how great things you can do. You can do wonders. You don't need to know anything. You don't need to worry about anything. Do not be dismayed. Anytime God called his servants, they had nothing with themselves. They did not have even the weapons. They did not even have the strength. In fact, most of the servants that God called were weaklings. They had nothing. They were unable. Most of them were just weak characters. But when they stepped out, I
I want to encourage each one of us today. I don't know what God, you know it. You know what God is able to do in your life. Because each one of us have very unique calling. Each one of us. It does not matter whether it's in the church or whether it is in at home or whether it is in the place of work or whether there is a position that God has given you, but he's waiting for you to show up. Because God is always very happy when you show up. In fact, God gives a testimony to his servants. When you just show up, when you show you distinguish yourself from others, God just shows up. That's what he did to Job. When the angels were going to see Job, to see God, the angels came, and there was also another fallen angel who came. And when he came and they all assembled, God noticed that, Lucifer was there. And then he asked him, "Hey, Lucifer, what's happening? You also showed up." Because the angels showed up and Satan also showed up. He said, "Oh, you have also showed up?" Because he was one of the servants of God before he fell. And he said, "Yes, I was just roaming about. I was just loitering around. But I saw these guys coming. I said, let me accompany them." And then he was told by God, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You see, the moment God puts the word servant before your name, the moment God puts the word servant before your name, you are no longer the same. So from today, hey, servant Julius. Servant Tony. Servant Ben. That is your name from today. There is servant so and so. Servant so and so. And when God refers to you to his servant, it means that he is there with you and is there to stand for you. And it can even testify for you. He said, "Have you seen that?" And God honors his servants. But anyway, today, as much as we have heard much about servanthood, Pastor has put that, he has exposed that. Sister Purity came and exposed it, but I think the time has come for us in our own areas, in wherever God has called you, it's time for you to stand and be counted. Amen. Let's look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, if you can go there with me. 1 Kings and chapter 18. 1 Kings 18, and we're going to read from verse 17. 18 and verse 17. This is the story. You know very well, this is Elijah the prophet who was confronting the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. And you know that he was the only prophet that remained. All the others had corrupted themselves with these prophets. There were 400 prophets of Baal, I think, and 450 of Asherah. And this is what he says in verse 17. "Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel? And I have not troubled Israel.'" Let's read from that. "He replied, 'I have not destroyed Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have abandoned the Lord's commandments and followed the Baals.'" Verse 19. "Now summon all Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab summoned all the Israelites and gathered the prophets at Mount Carmel. I don't want to read the whole story because you know what happened when there was to be a contest between the 850 prophets and Elijah.
And so, the prophets were told to sacrifice and make a call to their God, and the God who answers by fire will be the God that will be worshipped. And you know what happened? They sacrificed the whole day. They tried all their level best to call their gods. Their gods never answered. In fact, they went as far as cutting their bodies. Nobody answered. In the evening sacrifice, there was no, you know, there was nothing that happened. But look at verse 36. Look at verse 36. 18 and verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said. Now, after they were all unable to call their God, now Elijah comes and now he is standing there and the altar has already been prepared and the bull was already put on the altar, and he had even instructed his servants to put water around the trenches. And he stood in front of all those prophets. Now I want you to listen to the words he spoke, because this is what will encourage you to step out, to stand up and be counted for God. It says, and it came to pass at that time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet approached the altar and said, listen to the words he spoke. Lord God of Abraham. He's addressing God. He's not addressing the prophets. He's not addressing the king. He's not addressing the people that came for the show. He's addressing God. He says, Lord God of Israel, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God. He's talking to God. Maybe God is there. Say, Mungu wangu. Oh my God. Let it be known. The God of Abraham. He identifies him with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is the God of Israel. Let it be known today that you are God. Let it be known today that you are God in Israel. You are God in Israel. And I am your servant. And I'm your servant. And that at your word. Your word. I have done all these things. I want you to look at this place. This is very important. If you want to be a servant, it is as simple as this. It is A, B, C, D. I-A-O. If you think that you can never be a servant, that you need a lot of information to become a servant, or you need particular expertise to become a servant, that's not what you need. All you need is to know your God. Hallelujah. For Daniel said, for the people that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. All you need is not to worry about anything. You just know who your God is. Your God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Your God is your God, the one who saved you, the one who called you. And then, don't worry. And now I'm your servant. Oh, Mungu. God. And now I'm your servant. A servant has nothing. But I am your servant. Hakuna mahali ametaja prophets. There is nowhere he has mentioned King Ahab. There is nowhere he has mentioned all the people that were there. He did not even mention Israel. He mentioned God of Israel, and I am your servant, and I do these things by your word. So the next thing you need to know is the word of God. Only two things you need. And this word. So where we go? I used to ask myself, what does it mean to stand in the gap? I thought it was standing between my family and God. It won't work. You are not standing between your family and God so that he can hear. God does not hear your family. God does not hear your people. God only honors his word. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:12, "For I watch over my word to perform it." So do you know who a gap filler is? It's a servant. Yani unazimama katikati. Yani angalia. God. He's a servant.
When I saw my sister praying for the children, me, I was not seeing for me. I did not see Mrs. Carol standing in the gap between the children and God. I saw Mrs. Carol standing between God and his. That's why he's going to teach them his word. And when that connects, when the circle is complete, nothing else will stop fire from heaven. When you finish that sentence, the Bible says fire fell from heaven. God brought fire. God will back you up. When you stand between his word, when you stand between him and his word, and you are a servant here, all it, so God cannot do anything until there is a connect. God will not bring fire. God will not save your family unless you agree to be a servant. God honors his son. Wacha kusema mimi ni mukristo wa kawaida. Hakuna mukristo la kawaida. There is no commoner in the house of God. There is no commoner. There is no raya. There is no citizen ya kawaida. Once you have been chosen, you become a servant, and your position is to stand between God and his word. Which one? Those guys who are drinking in your family will have it wrong. Because God watches over his word. He doesn't watch over your family. He doesn't look at what has happened to your men. He does not check on what they have said about your family and your people. It does not matter what it is. I have said about your child, all that matters is God and his word, his promises, his commandments.
The prophet told that on that day. They did not even wait. They started running away before even the fire completed the prayer.
Do you want to be one of the
in any area of your life, take God and his word and his promise.
You know the story of Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
Hallelujah. You know the story about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I don't want to read. It's Daniel chapter 3. When they were told to worship the idols, what did they tell Nebuchadnezzar? Look here, king. Well, you are a king. But let me tell you something. The God that we serve, the God that we serve, servants. Mungu anatembeanga tu na maservants. Yani, he really does exploits with servants. If you want to do exploits, if you want to be used of God, become a servant, bwana. Hiki tu ni poa. It's good. Because you start to see things happening in your family, you start things happening in your environment, and you people just wonder, kwani huyu nani? What is this guy? See, we know him. You can know me, but the moment God connects with his word, wisha maneno. Everything is finished. Because that's how God operates. So you King Nebuchadnezzar, the God that we worship, we serve. In fact, he says, the God. Can we get that in Daniel chapter 3? Lorraine, if you can get that. I want you to see those words. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Comes before Ezekiel, is it? Okay. Daniel chapter 3. Yeah, verse 17. 16 and 17. Lorraine, you have already gotten. Just put 16 there. Let's begin from 16. That's good. Thank you. It says, Shadrach, look at the board here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. Nebuchadnezzar. Where? You are nothing to us. You think there is anything you can do? We don't need to give you an answer. And he's a king. Imagine talking to a king like that about this question. Verse 17. If the God we serve, if the God we serve exists, he can rescue us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of the king. That's what the word of God says. The battle is not yours. I will fight your battles. These Hebrew boys knew the word of God. They knew God is able. God is able to rescue them. God is able to lift them up. God is able to protect them and to save them. They knew the word of God. So, King Nebuchadnezzar, there is nothing we are worried about, because we are God's servant, and God himself is able to save us from the blazing fire, and he can rescue us. Verse 18. But even if he does not, look at that. Even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king. You know, when you are a servant, you don't care now what is going to happen. Because, anyway, you are just a servant, but you're in the middle. Imagine being in the middle of God and his word. Now, you can say anything you want. You can confront your enemies and tell them, look here, enemies of my family, there is nothing you can do to me. I'm standing here as a servant, and I'm declaring that according to God's word, my family are going to be born again. Yes. We will not serve your gods or worship the God statue you set up. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than the custom. And the servants are saying, in fact, you could have made it 14 times. And do you know their position? They were now standing between God and this one. Very comfortable. To cut the long story short, they threw them into the furnace of fire. They were thrown there, tied up, and actually literally thrown into the fire. They were enjoying the immunity of God. When you are a servant, you have what we call heavenly immunity, not diplomatic immunity. I'm talking of heavenly immunity. You are covered. Because even the enemy cannot get you there. It's under our feet. Hallelujah! So, the boys were in the fire, but God is here, and his word is there. God is able to save us. Oh, are we in the fire even? I'm sure Shadrach was asking Meshach, hey, Baba, how are you feeling? Una skiaje? Hey. The fire is 7 times burning. But the guys, there is an AC. You know, when we came to America is when we knew there was AC in the house. Like the other night, it was very hot, and my wife was saying, I'm sweating, you know. Then I went to that small thing and I lowered kidogo. Then there was cool air coming in. I was just saying, ja! I think God brought it to around 30. ama 45. Na kitu ilikuwa inagonga karibu elfu ngapi. Ililetwa tu, and the boys were just enjoying the fire. They were actually walking and say, hey man, Shark, hey, how is it, man? It's cool. In fact, something else spectacular happened. As the fire was continuing to burn fiercely, a fourth person appeared. Whoop! In the fire. A fourth person appeared. And Nebuchadnezzar said, he looks like the Son of God. Wakoine saizi. Yani, God came live. Apana ile akutumwa. No, he was not, he did not send an angel. He came directly himself. To identify with his servants. That's what God does when you stand in that position. These are things that you can be able to testify. When you stood as a servant in your family, when you stood up as a servant in your place of work, when you stood up as a servant in the church, God just came and stood on your side. So it's time for us to stand up and be counted. Stand up between God and his word as a servant, and God will see you through. Maybe you might say these are just, you know, let's go to Judges chapter 4. Apart from God wanting us to stand in the position between him and his word, God also wants us to do something else as servants. And we should dare to do it. Judges chapter 4. And you know this story, so I'm not also going to talk much about it. But the judge of that time was a woman. She was called Deborah. Deborah. A woman of God. Oh my. He said, Deborah, a woman. You thought it was only men who should be servants. Said, no. In fact, women are more powerful. Deborah, a woman who was a prophet and the wife of Lapiro, was judging Israel at that time. Verse 5. It was her custom to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her for judgment. Verse 6. She summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, Hasn't the Lord God of Israel commanded you to deploy the troops on the Mount of Tabor and take with you 10,000 men from the Naphtalites and Zebulites? Verse 7. Then I will lure Sisera, commander of Jabin's forces, his chariots, and his army at the Wadi Kishon to fight against you, and I will hand him over to you. That's the word of the Lord. Verse 8. Barak said to her, if you will not go with me, if you go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. This is the commander of the army. He's being told by Deborah, God has said, you go and fight with Sisera, and you're going to be given into his hand. The enemy is going to be given to your hand. And he says, no. If you don't go with me, I'm not going. Is that a servant? No. He's fearing. But this is the woman of God, the servant of God, who is standing in the middle of God's word and his word. And she says, we are going to get him. We are going to get Sisera. And then the Bible continues to say in verse 10 that Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Verse 11. Now Heber the Kenite had moved away from Kenite, the sons of Hobab, Moses' father-in-law, and pitched his tent beside the oak tree of Zaman, where he was in Kadesh. Verse 12. It was reported to Sisera that Barak, son of Binoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. Verse 13, Sisera summoned all his 900 iron chariots and all the people who were with him from Harosheth of nations of Wadai and Kishon. Verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, move on! Show up! Come on. This is what a servant is supposed to do. to move on. Move on to the position. Move on. He said, move on. For this is the day the Lord has handed Sisera over to you. Hasn't the Lord gone before you? So Barak came down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. Well, the story, if you can read, what happened is that Sisera was routed. But do you know what this woman did? She did not go there to fight. She did not go there to even command. All she did was to show up in the arena. The woman just showed up. She just moved on to the arena. She did nothing. There was nothing she was doing. She was only standing between God and what God had told her. This is what helps us to know that we can be servants of the Lord by just identifying with him and his word. And finally, you don't want to forget the story of David, the small boy, and Goliath. You don't want to forget that. Because this was the servant of God. And I want us to finish with that. That is 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel and chapter 17. 1 Samuel and chapter 17. Chapter 17. 1 Samuel and chapter 17. And we are reading from verse 39. Verse 39. 17 and verse 39. This is the time when David was ready to go and confront Goliath. Look at this verse here. It says, David strapped his sword on over the military clothes and tried to walk, but he was not used to them. I can't walk in these, David said to Saul. I'm not used to these. So David took them off. You see, King Saul was trying to put military clothes on him, which he was not used to. A servant is not supposed to put on other things that other people put on just because they're going for war. All you need is to know that God is on your side. And then verse 41. Instead, he took his staff. The Philistine came closer and closer to David with a shield bearer in front of him. And verse 42. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he despised him because he was just a youth, healthy and handsome. Verse 43. He said to David, am I a dog that you come against me with sticks? Then he cast David by his God. Come here, the Philistine called to David, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts. Verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a dagger, spear, and sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. Again, you see the reference? In the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, the armies you have defied. So he's referring to the God. And then he says, today, the Lord will hand you over to me. The position of a servant. To me. And I will strike you down, cut your head off, and give the corpses of the Philistines come to the birds of the sky and the creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God. Amen. The moment you stand between God and his word, you know what happens? God is glorified. God is magnified. And when he hears that, anytime a servant stands in place, he just brings the power down. You know what happened to this boy? He just went into his pocket, pulled one stone. He had five. He only used the first one. And he put it in the sling and he just, you know, swung it, and there it went to the head, the forehead of Goliath, and he went down. Now, that shows that all you need to do is to step out for God. Step out for God, but the good thing about it is that you don't need anybody. You don't need the credentials of anybody. You don't need anybody to to acknowledge you to be a servant. All you need to do is you are standing between God and his word. That is the position of a servant at all given time. Look at the Bible, throughout the Bible. Any servant of God always was in the middle of God and his word. God and his word. God and his word. And that is why it's important for each one of us to know God's word. Because the moment you know God's word, you know what God wants you to be. You know what God entails in his promises. And then when you know your God and you stand in the middle, you can declare and say, from today, I stop this in Jesus' name. Amen. One time we were told of a story of a mother in Kenya. Back in Kenya, the husband was like a drunkard. He was a horrible drunkard. He used to drink. I mean, he used to work, but he used to, you know, he used to riot and drink every penny he had. And for many years, they lived together. They lived together, and this woman suffered for many, many years. But she was a godly woman. She was a servant of God. She used to pray in the church. She used to be an intercessor in church. But one time, she took a step of faith. And she stood as a servant and told God that night, "Oh, God of heaven. Oh, God of heaven, remember me, oh God, your servant. I have waited upon you. And Lord, I want to pray that your word may be fulfilled in my husband. That your word will drop, that your Holy, you'll send your Holy Spirit, and this man will come to the Lord. You have said that salvation is for us and our children and our household. Lord, I pray that you may touch him." That particular night, when she stood in the middle and told God, just like Hannah. Hannah was praying for a long time, but when she stood and said, "Oh God, if you give me this son, I will give him back to you." You know what happened? This man was in the bar. He was actually in the alcohol place, and he was drinking with his friends. You know, in Kenya, we have where people normally drink is a high, there's a high stool there. They sing, they put a lot of liquor on the table. And the guy was, yeah, it's called sina tabu. Yani, I have no problem. Those seats are called, I have no problem. When you sit on them, there is no problem. Problem of the family is gone. Problem of finance is gone. Everything. At that particular time. No problem. Sina tabu. And that time is when you ask the counterman to bring all the kind of liquor on the table. So this guy is drinking. He's in high spirits. On this side, there's some small girls on this side, there's others on this side, the friends are around, he's enjoying himself, everything is okay like usual. Lest did he know that there was a servant who had already stood that night between God, and he reminded God about his promises. You know what happened to this man? He started just shivering. Out of nowhere. It was not even cold. Then he started to sweat. All his clothes were wet. He said, "Hey, is it malaria or what?" Then he moved out and went outside. Went to, you know, a place where there was some water. He tried to cool himself. Came back. It became worse. Now, he started to shake even the legs now. Now, everything was now getting out of hand. Now, everybody was asking, "What's wrong with you?" The guy started to worry that probably there's somebody who put poison in my leak or something. I'm just about to die. "Wait, I'm going to die." You know, that kind of feeling. "I'm going to die." He said, "I'm not going to die in the bar. I'll run home and die there." So he ran home. When he ran home, usually when he comes home, it's chaotic. He has to bang the door. But that day he did not bang the door. He came and knocked the door and called his wife. "My wife, open for me. Open for me." And then when the wife opened the door, the man came in. And do you know what he did? Straight away, he went to his knees. And he said, I'm dying. Pray for me. Please pray for me. And the wife, for the first time, as a servant, stood and put his hand. Hand on the man. In the name of Jesus. I declare salvation tonight in Jesus' name. And he paralyzed every work of the devil. Do you know what happened? The guy became okay. And there was no liquor anymore in his head. He was just sober, and from that day he came to the Lord. God can intervene in every situation. But all you need to do, show up, stand up, move on, step out, come out, show yourself up, declare you are a servant of God, and God is going to use you. Even in church here, whatever you want to do, don't worry about anybody. Don't think about who will say what and what. So long as you're standing here in the name of God, in the name of the Father, and standing by his promises, God will fulfill that which he has called you to do. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you, we honor you, we glorify you. Thank you because, God, you have chosen us to be your servants. Thank you because you have also given us your word. And now all you desire is for us to stand in the gap, in between your word, between you and your word. Because you always watch over your word to fulfill it. Lord, we can have the confidence that even when we shall stand before the congregation of the people, when we shall stand in our community, when we shall stand in our families, and when we shall declare that you are the God of Israel, the God omnipotent, the God almighty God, and that you do all these things according to your word, it shall be fulfilled in our lives, like Daniel did, like David did, like Deborah did, like Elijah did, like Moses did. Lord, we know we shall be able to overcome. We shall be able to serve you in this generation. Thank you, King of Glory, for your goodness, your mercies. Thank you because you have come down to appoint us as your servants, O Lord. Give us that strength. Give us that confidence. Because, God, you desire that we should serve you even to the end of times. Thank you, Jesus. Even as we wind up, as we come to the end of this sermon, you could be here in this congregation, and probably you have always felt like you want to serve God in a particular area in your life, but you've always hesitated. Like, for example, I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go to. I don't know whom I should ask. But today the word clearly says all you need to know is to know your God and to know his word. You want to stand today in the gap in behalf of your family. You want to stand in the gap on behalf of your colleagues at place of work. You want to stand in the gap even for this church. You want to stand in the gap for our country, Kenya. You want to stand in the gap in every area that we have problem. Do you know what? God can use you as his servant because he honors you as his servant. You are here today and you feel like you want God to just use you in that particular area. Just put up your right hand and put it down as we pray that God is going to use you even in this generation. Just put up, thank you for that hand. Thank you. God bless you. He is able to use you in any area of your life. Let me tell you something. You don't need anybody to tell you about how to go about it. All you need to know is that God has appointed you to be a servant. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for those hands that have gone up, O Lord. This afternoon, we want to pray that, Lord, you will enable us like Deborah. You will enable us like Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You will enable us like David. You will enable us like Elijah. The men and women of God that were your servants and that just stood by the simple word that you are our God. Lord, even pertaining to our families, pertaining to our children, pertaining to our community, pertaining to our families, Lord, we know it. You are able to support us and to come and to empower us. Thank you, King of Glory, for each one of them, that, Lord, you may fulfill that desire in their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. May God bless you.